Greetings, Saints. Welcome to Word Study with Brother Hebert. This is part 22 of Devil, Satan, Serpent. You can follow along with the article by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. Devil, Satan, Serpent can be found on the main menu. Let's wrap up Revelation and the series. Revelation identifies the dragon and beast as political and spiritual systems that oppose God's people. The beast with 7 heads and 10 horns echoes the description of the dragon, showing they are interconnected. Revelation 13:1, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." The beast rising from the sea symbolizes a powerful world empire emerging from the mass of nations and peoples. Compare with Daniel 7:3 and Revelation 17:15. The 7 heads and 10 horns directly link it to the dragon of Revelation 12, showing that this beast inherits and continues the same adversarial power, a corrupt political and religious system opposing God's people and kingdom. The 10 horns with crowns represent a coalition of kings or rulers united under this beast system, each blaspheming God's authority through deceit, false worship, and persecution. The name of blasphemy on the heads signifies institutional rebellion, claiming divine authority while persecuting the saints and promoting counterfeit doctrines. This beast is a continuation of Mystery Babylon, the spiritual and political adversary that has warred against Christian Israel throughout history, morphing through empires like Babylon, Greece, Rome, and culminating in modern global powers. The Great Prostitute and the Beast. Revelation 17:1. "And there came one of the 7 angels which had the 7 vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." Jeremiah 51:7. "Babylon has been a golden cup in Yahweh's hand, that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad." Verse 3. "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." This woman is riding a beast with the same description as the one that is called Dragon, Satan, and that old serpent in Revelation 12 and 13. This woman is named Babylon, and she kills Christians. Verse 7. "And the angel said unto me, Wherefore did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carries her, which has the 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that you saw was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is." John is describing something that the inhabitants of the earth will see and wonder. Where will it be seen? Here on the earth. A woman, Babylon the Great, rides the beast, symbolizing corrupt world systems oppressing God's people. The angel explicitly states, verse 9, And here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. In biblical prophecy, mountains are nations. Verse 10. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. What is John describing? He is describing the heads of the beast, and he says they are kings. Are the kings in some faraway heaven? No, they are someplace here on the earth. Verse 11.
And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seventh, and goes into perdition.
The woman riding the beast represents power derived from a coalition of nations. The scarlet beast with seven heads and ten horns represents a conglomerate of nations or powers ruled by Mystery Babylon. Verse 12.
And the ten horns which you saw are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is master of masters, king of kings. And they that are with him are called, and chosen, and faithful.
And he said unto me,
The waters which you saw, where the whore sits, are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. And the ten horns which you saw upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which you saw is the great city, which reigns over the kings of the earth.
Mystery Babylon symbolizes a corrupt and oppressive world system, not a spiritual devil or Satan. Babylon symbolizes a corrupt world system controlling nations. It is drunken with the blood of saints, indicating its role in persecuting Christians. It is a great world-ruling system of kings and nations here on the earth. When it is cast down, it is destroyed, or its power is broken by the blood of Jesus. The war in heaven was not fought in some faraway celestial abode of God with an angelic being who rebelled against God. This war is what is going on here, on the earth, between the kings of the earth and the people they are killing, who are called the martyrs of Jesus. The beast, these heads, and this woman are all adversaries or opponents of Christian Israel. This war in heaven is a war in the kingdom of heaven on earth, where the kingdom has been planted and growing like a mustard seed. John was seeing the same thing that Daniel saw in his visions in chapter 7. The great enemies of God's people Israel. Daniel also describes a beast with ten horns. Daniel 7:7. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had ten horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and I beheld in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. Daniel's visions, like John's, symbolize successive kingdoms and empires that dominate and oppress God's people. The war in heaven, described in Revelation 12, is a continuation of this theme, emphasizing the struggle between earthly powers and the kingdom of God. Revelation 21. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. The angel symbolically representing divine authority over evil. Keys represent authority to open and shut. Isaiah 22:22.
And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open.
Context: authority and control seen as a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ's authority. Matthew 16:19. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Context: Jesus speaking to Peter, symbolizing authority to permit or forbid. Revelation 1:18. I am he that lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Context: Jesus' authority over death and the grave. Revelation 3:7. These things says he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. Context: authority to open and close spiritual doors. Chain, symbolic of restraint and God's power to limit activities. Jude 1:6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Context: restraint of messengers until judgment. 2 Peter 2:4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment. Context: chains symbolize God's power to restrain evil. Psalm 149:8-9. To bind their kings with chains, and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints, praise you the Lord. Context: symbol of divine judgment and restraint of evil rulers. Mark 5:3-4. Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Context: demonstrates the need for divine power to restrain spiritual evil effectively. Revelation 20:2. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. A symbolic reading identifying Satan's influence through worldly powers and deception. The titles as emphasizing different aspects of Satan's character: deceiver, serpent, accuser, devil, adversary, Satan. The binding as preventing large-scale deception, but not minor acts of evil. Bound 1,000 years, a symbolic interpretation, an extended but indefinite period of righteousness. That this binding of Satan occurred at Jesus' first coming is seen from Matthew 12:28-29 and Luke 11:20-22. This binding is not to be understood in a literal sense of the devil being locked up so that he is unable to do anything on earth. Satan, or the adversary, is the strong man. The best passage on this subject is found in Luke 11:21-23, where we see Jesus, the stronger than he, to bind the strong man at the time, the Jewish Pharisees and their traditions of men. In Revelation, John speaks of this very same binding of the strong man in a little different allegorical language in Revelation 20:1-3. The binding of Satan, symbol of oppressive powers. Satan represents oppressive political regimes or corrupt religious institutions that deceive and oppress people. The binding symbolizes a period during which these oppressive forces are restrained, allowing for justice and truth to prevail. Metaphor for human sinfulness. Satan is a metaphor for inherent human sinfulness and societal injustices. The binding indicates a time when these negative aspects are subdued, leading to moral and spiritual renewal. Revelation 20:4-6, the reign of the saints. The thrones, as symbolizing authority given to the martyrs and the faithful to rule with Christ. The faithful are the ones seated on the throne. They are given authority to judge the world, 1 Corinthians 6:3, just as Noah judged the world before the flood, through obedience to God. Hebrews 11:7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with reverence, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. In verse 4 of chapter 20, the expression, coming to life and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years, speaks to our spiritual rebirth, the life we obtain in Jesus Christ. Prior to that time, we were considered dead to God, Ephesians 2:1, and you, has he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, to paraphrase verse 5, the rest of the dead, the faithless are dead in sin, did not come to life until the 1,000 years, an indeterminate period of time, were completed. The reality is that the faithless are dead in this life. As well, let us paraphrase verse 6 because its meaning is paramount to our understanding of life through salvation. Revelation 20:6, paraphrased, blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection, the immersion in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Over these, the Christians, the second death, meaning spiritual death, has no power, but they, the Christians, will be priests of God and of Christ. All Christians are priests and royalty, 1 Peter 2:9, and will reign with him for 1,000 years, meaning until Christ's return. The 1,000 years in this passage is used to symbolize the time that remains relative to the end of time, that is, the period before Jesus Christ brings this age to an end. As the faithful, we are priests of God and of Messiah, and we are reigning with him now, just as all saints have, precisely as the passage from Revelation tells us. We read identical language in Peter's first letter, 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The ones on the thrones are the saints, those who constitute the holy nation in 1 Peter 2:9. Additionally, let us not miss the fact that the saints are to judge the world, 1 Corinthians 6:2. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? This is something Christians have been doing by their Christian behavior in an ungodly world. Revelation 20:7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Napoleon ended the power of the papacy. From that point on begins the little season of Revelation 23, because when Napoleon emancipated the Jews from the ghettos, they went out and created their banking empire which has enslaved the entire world in usury. Satan's release. The resurgence of corruption. The release symbolizes a period when previously restrained, corrupt, political, or religious forces reemerge, testing the integrity and resilience of just societies. Human propensity for rebellion. It reflects the cyclical nature of human history, where periods of righteousness are followed by lapses into corruption and rebellion against moral principles. Revelation 20, verse 8, "And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea." The adversaries of God, Christ, His people, and His kingdom, work during this little season, doing all they can to undermine Christianity. This adversarial force succeeds in deceiving the nations. He has succeeded in deceiving the churches. He owns the media, the medical system, the education system, the corporations and governments. Satan, collectively, already has been bound and loosed from the ghettos and has become the world's banker of today, and as verse 3 indicates, have gone forth to deceive the nations, and their seats of government are the so-called United Nations, World Economic Forum, World Health Organization, and all the ABC agencies. Verse 9, "And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and encompassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven, and devoured them." The ultimate enemy is a coalition of nations and ideologies opposing Christian values, not an invisible Satan. This coalition also includes many self-identifying Christians acting as antichrists by opposing God's truth and His laws,
just believe,
making their presence as widespread as the sand of the sea, or rather, as widespread as over 33,000 denominations. The Zion nation, regathered Anglo-Saxon Israel, will endure this persecution, but ultimately triumph as God's kingdom is established on earth. Micah 4, 1-7 and Obadiah 1, 17-21 describe this victory, where Zion is elevated above all nations. Verse 10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." The final defeat. This verse describes the devil being thrown into the lake of fire, signifying eternal torment. Destruction of tyranny. The lake of fire represents the ultimate eradication of tyrannical regimes and corrupt institutions, ensuring they can no longer harm or deceive. The end of injustice. It symbolizes the definitive end of systemic injustices and the establishment of a society based on equity and truth. These are symbolic interpretations of Satan and the devil, not as literal beings, but as representations of real-world adversarial forces, both religious and political, that oppose righteousness and justice. Revelation paints a vivid picture of real-world systems, not mythical beings. The dragon, the beast, and the great whore called Babylon all represent corrupt political and religious powers that have opposed God's people throughout history. These forces are described as having 7 heads and 10 horns, symbols of coalitions of nations and rulers that wage war against the saints. Babylon, drunk with the blood of the martyrs, rides this beast, showing the union of spiritual deception and worldly tyranny. Revelation 20 continues this symbolic theme. The dragon, Satan, is bound, not a literal creature in chains, but a restraint of oppressive systems through Christian governance and victory in Jesus Christ. The saints reign with him now, judging the world through righteousness. And though evil is loosed again for a little season, it will ultimately be destroyed. The lake of fire is not for fallen angels, but for the beastly empires, false prophets, and adversarial systems that deceive the nations. God's kingdom triumphs, and his people, faithful, called, and chosen, endure. In Revelation, the word Satan, G4567, is consistently used symbolically, not as a literal supernatural being, but to represent adversarial forces, especially corrupt political powers, false religious systems, and human opposition to God's people and truth. Revelation 2:9 and 3:9, the synagogue of Satan. Jesus identifies false Jews, those claiming to be Judah but are not, as the synagogue of Satan, showing that Satan represents religious imposters and enemies of God's people, particularly the Edomite infiltrators who opposed early Christians in Smyrna and Philadelphia. Revelation 2:13, where Satan's seat is. Pergamos is said to dwell where Satan's throne is, linking Satan to the Roman imperial cult and the pagan political power centers that persecuted the faithful. Again, Satan equals worldly rule opposing God's kingdom. Revelation 12:9, the dragon equals Satan. The great red dragon is explicitly called that old serpent, called the devil and Satan. This dragon has 7 heads and 10 horns, just like the beast in chapter 13, a symbol of global political power. Satan here represents a world ruling system deceiving the nations. Revelation 12:10, the accuser cast down. Satan is described as the accuser of the brethren, but he is cast down, symbolizing the loss of authority by false rulers and corrupt judges who oppose the saints. It's a spiritual and political fall, not celestial warfare. Revelation 20:2, Satan bound for 1,000 years. Satan is bound with a symbolic chain, his influence restrained by Jesus Christ's victory. The binding started with Jesus' ministry, restraining the Jewish Roman systems that had oppressed the faithful. Revelation 20:7-9, Satan loosed for a season. After the 1,000 years, Satan is loosed, symbolizing the resurgence of evil systems, deceptive propaganda, and global opposition to Christianity, culminating in a final confrontation between God's people and the enemies of truth, Gog and Magog. Revelation 20:10, the final defeat of Satan. Satan, the beast, and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire, representing the complete and eternal destruction of oppressive political and religious systems, not a literal being suffering torment forever. Throughout this study, we've seen that the serpent, the dragon, Satan, and the devil are not supernatural fallen angels causing sin and evil in the world. Rather, Scripture consistently uses these terms as metaphors and titles, describing the characteristics, roles, and actions of real people, institutions, and systems that oppose God and His kingdom. From the carnal mind within us, to corrupt rulers, false prophets, the Jewish Pharisees, the Antichrist global systems like the United Nations, and even denominational churchianity, the true adversary is anything or anyone who rebels against the authority of God, denies His word, rejects Jesus Christ, persecutes the saints, and works against the advancement of the kingdom on earth. The battle is not with mythical beings in another realm, but with deception, pride, and rebellion right here in our own world. And through the Word, through obedience, and through the blood of the Lamb, we overcome. For we are the sons of God.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in you, and the works that he did, I know we shall do again. Some will mock and criticize, but we don't mind these earthly trials. It will be worth it all when we hear the final call. Now are we the sons of God, though our trials have been hard, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know when he appears, in our heart there'll be no fear. We'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now are we the heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ the King. If we suffer with the Lord, won't be long till we shall reign. So we'll walk on by faith, no matter what they say. It is worth every trial since we're on our last mile. Now are we the sons of God, though our trials have been hard, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know when he appears, in our heart there'll be no fear. We'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're in the army of the Lord, marching on in one accord. We will not turn aside, for worldly friends, flesh, or pride. Marching on in Jesus' name, what he did, we'll do the same. While the battle rages on, we will sing this victory song. Now are we the sons of God, though our trials have been hard, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know when he appears, in our heart there'll be no fear. We'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is.